Hey, podcast listeners.
Just so you know, the following episode contains talk of self-harm.
If that's something you'd rather not hear, skip to the next episode.
On this week's episode of Sorta Cinema,
Martha smokes cigarettes in a phone booth
and makes friends with a vagabond.
Her sister investigates a murder
and goes to college.
She meets the dragon lady
and gets a cool lamp.
She learns about rats in a maze
and finds a creepy painting.
The science teacher might be Satan,
but gets drowned by bamboo
in Satan's School for Girls.
Not coming to a theater near you.
We haven't talked about how my marriage is in shambles. We've talked about it off mic.
Oh, dramatic. Yeah. What happened?
So we had a ceremony. I believe we have talked about that. You know, I did the
civil ceremony.
Yeah, the civil ceremony, the court thing or whatever. We're going to do a much bigger wedding later. Well, my sisters didn't sign the documents correctly. They kind of wrote things in like doctor's handwriting, crossed things out. So my marriage is null and void. And we got a document from the LA County Clerk's office that we have to resend it. We have to resend the whole license. So I'm not technically married, so my marriage is in shambles.
So you've been living out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lie.
Have you been having intercourse outside of marriage?
No.
Oh. Save it for the wedding night.
But yeah.
That sucks.
And then also, you're going to be one of my best men.
Yeah.
At my wedding.
Yeah. I'm going to be a best man. I've never been a best man before.
You and Omar are going to have to start planning the bachelor party.
Yes.
Because Kato's planning the bachelorette party.
We're going to have to talk about this. I've never hosted a bachelor party.
Kato was like, I feel like it's just going to be very different what Omar would plan and what Dalton would plan.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Omar would be like, let's go to the club.
Let's go to Ibiza.
Yeah, let's do shots. And then I'd be like, you want to watch Jeopardy? You want to go home? We can watch a movie.
You want to go to the mountains and shoot duck?
Never shot a duck in my life.
No, but you would.
I would if someone told me to.
I would be fucking sick.
You want to do duck hunting for your bachelor party?
Can there be a strip club next to a duck hunting place?
You want to do strip club duck hunting?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of really niche service for that. That I don't want to Google. Naked lady duck hunting. Wow, 800 results.
And all of them are in Rochester.
If it's anywhere, it's in Rochester. That's, it's going to be a good time. I'm ready to plan it.
Maybe there's like some kind of mountain retreat that has all the things, you know?
Oh, in New York, 100%. Yeah. There's probably a mountain strip club. Yeah.
Speaking of mountain retreats with all the things and with girls.
Welcome to Sorta Cinema.
My name is Ryan Chu.
My name is Dalton James. This week we watched Satan's School for Girls, released on ABC in September of 1973.
Woo!
Woo, this one. I fucking love this one, man.
Apparently it's become a cult classic since its release.
Yeah, we got this New York Times, one of the most memorable television movies of the 1970s.
Yeah.
Loved this movie. It felt so ahead of its time. There was pacing, everything. It was so good.
Yeah, compared to some of the other movies that we've watched, especially recently in the 70s, I just listened back to Survival of Dana, and man, was that a slog. I get why you didn't want to release it. This is none of that, you know? It's got the pacing. It's got the energy throughout.
It's got good acting, mm-hmm. good writing.
I mean, all the white people blend together, but what are you going to do?
When it's don't the 70s. They? Yeah. It just felt really good. And apparently they made a remake in 2000, and we haven't watched it yet. I'm gonna hedge a bet right now that it's not as good as this one.
Yeah,
I bet that the 2000 version of this movie tries to do something too much, mm-hmm. where this one was like, there were slow scenes in this movie like any movie in the 70s, but they build tension in a really good way. Like, yeah, you're gonna see a girl drive a car for like 2 minutes, but you're like, what's happening? Why is she driving this car? Who is she trying to get away from? It's great.
It's got the 70s film quality too.
Yeah.
Where there's, you know, all the little like tracers and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's like splotches that pop up.
Yeah. Which I think adds to the creepiness of it all.
Does it add to this? But this is a horror mystery. Mm-hmm. This is our first mystery.
I wonder if this same movie, like exactly as we watched it, was recorded with like today's like technology and stuff and was really high quality, if it would be as good.
You'd have to do it like The Haunting of Hill House. Mm-hmm. You'd have to have a very dark and kind of creepy. And it would be, I think, really, like, you'd have to have a good soundtrack to bring that kind of, like, creepiness to it. But this, I think, just by the nature of it being recorded the way it was, just has that natural built-in creepiness.
As always, we are going to play the movie in the background.
Yes, we are. Let's get into it.
If you
this.
Don't mind me just jumping into it
here. Oh, no, please do. On YouTube, for some reason, this is called Salem School for Girls. It's not. It's called Satan's School for Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just so you know, if you're looking this up, it even says Satan's School for Girls on the title screen. So I don't know how they screwed that
up. It's on Tubi as well. So maybe we'll link to the Tubi instead of the YouTube.
Tubi or not Tubi.
This was produced by Aaron Spelling, the father of Tori Spelling.
Yeah. I had no idea until I saw this sheet and I was like, oh, I had no idea.
Some of the main actors, they were like a lot of them were really huge in television at the time. We got Pamela Franklin, we've got Lloyd Bachner, we've got Roy Thines, we've got Joe Van Fleet. I don't know any of those people, and I feel bad, but the only like point of reference that I have for any of the actors is the producer, his father of Tori Spelling.
Yeah, there's not a lot of big A-lister names. There's no Judge Reinholds in this, I'm sorry. But I will say one of them, I'm not sure which one, but one of them was in an episode of Barnaby Jones, which is what that girl was going to film when she got run off the freeway in Death Car.
Wow.
Yeah, she actually did a Barnaby Jones. I wish I remembered which one. The movie starts out with this young woman,
Martha,
cruising down the highway in her car, and she looks like she's trying to get away from something.
She's in kind of a mountainy area. Yeah. She has a very panicked look on her face.
Yeah, she's looking in her rearview mirror. She's panicked.
Yeah, she's constantly kind of looking around, wondering what's going on, terrified, running away from something, or maybe running towards something. We don't know.
We have no idea.
She sees something that makes her pull off the road in this small mountain highway and go to a telephone.
Yeah, a payphone.
Yes, collect call, please. Connect to Elizabeth Sayers, Los Angeles, KL58937. Thank you.
The line doesn't connect. It doesn't go all the way through.
Yeah.
She's looking for her sister. She can't find her.
Yep.
She sees a man standing behind the gas station. He kind of pops out, and he's dressed like a 1920s like hobo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's like correct to be saying, you know, but that's the way that he's
characterized. It's such a specific thing.
Yeah.
He is dressed hobo. It is hobo specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a suit that's too big for him.
Way too big.
Like a loose tie.
Yep.
Like a funny hat, you know, like
he looks like he would. Cigarette. Yeah, he looks like he would ride a train car to get from one side of the country to the other.
Exactly.
He's got hobo vibes.
The only thing he's missing is one of those little stick with the little bags on it, wrapped up with all his stuff in it.
That's exactly what he looks like. And he doesn't do anything. He's just standing there. Apparently, it's very windy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize until his loose clothes are just flapping in the wind. But he kind
of glares at her.
He glares at her and he picks up the cigarette she was smoking and he finishes the cigarette off.
Yeah. But she sees him and dips out. She's immediately terrified by this guy, hops in her car, takes off.
Yep.
She ends up going to, I think it's a family, like kind of like second home, you know, like mountain house sort of thing.
Seems like a mountain. You were saying before that it kind of looks like Big Bear.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to Big Bear, it has that vibe. Just very cottagey lakeside house.
So I guess Martha has been away at school in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
She has now returned home. She's flown from Massachusetts, driven her car to meet her sister in this mountain home.
Yes.
Sister doesn't pick up the phone. She heads to the house. She is terrified. She's banging on the door. She wants her sister to let her in.
Yeah, she's using one of those door knockers, those like circle door knockers.
Cast iron.
And I've never seen someone aggressively panicked knock one of those things, because she doesn't knock with her fist. She's like, click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Just bang on it with your hand. But her sister's not answering.
No.
And there's a strange man that approaches her with a sickle.
And she's freaked out. She's like, this guy's going to kill me. He's actually not a bad guy.
He's just a gardener.
He's just got a creepy vibe.
He's got, I mean, if you're going to approach a young lady that looks scared, put down the sickle.
Yeah, put down the sickle.
Yeah, don't look so scary. But he approaches her with the sickle and he was like,
she told me she'd be here.
You a sister?
Yes.
She just went to the store. Asked me to give you a key.
Yeah.
Immediately stops being creepy. Like, approach with that energy.
But she's still freaked out.
Yeah.
She grabs the key. She heads inside. She immediately starts closing all the blinds, mm-hmm. kind of shutting it down in there. She doesn't want... There's something out there that's after her. She doesn't want it to come in.
She's 100% being pursued by something that we don't get to see right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she does see it.
She sees it.
She sees something come in. She says...
No.
And then it cuts away.
It cuts away. Yeah, she screams like a blood curdling scream.
And then we see her sister. She's arriving back from the grocery store.
Yes, Elizabeth.
She gets to the mountain house. Elizabeth is going to be kind of the main character that we follow throughout this movie.
Yes,
she arrives to the mountain house, and the police are there,
mm-hmm.
as well as the gardener. They are trying to get into the house. Something happened. I think the gardener heard the scream, called the cops.
Yeah, he tells Elizabeth, he's like, your sister went nuts. She went into the house, locked the doors, and started screaming her head off.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth is like, I gotta get into this house.
So they get inside the house, and they see Martha, her sister, dangling from the roof. She apparently, according to the cops and according to what's going on, she's hung herself. And I don't know if it was the film quality. I don't know if it was because we're, you know, all dressed like 70s people. Because I feel like I've seen people like hung before on TV and movies. It was so creepy.
It's
the way that
creepy.
She's just dangling there by the ceiling. It's quite awful.
It's really pretty visceral. Yeah, it's like, oh no. And I think because you think that this girl's going to be a major part of the movie, and then all of a sudden she's just hanging there, and it's really sad. Yeah. And you're like, what happened? But because of the context that we saw this happen, and we're like, I don't think she killed herself. Mm-hmm. We kind of have this suspicion, and so does Elizabeth. She's like, I don't think my sister would kill herself.
And the cop at the police station is like, she was a very melancholy girl. Of course she killed herself. What are you talking about?
Yeah. He's like, the sister's like, well, like, did you call like these people? And he was like, do you really think that would help? And she was like, yeah, call them. He goes, well, I did call them. Like, you're kind of a dick right now. And he's like, we called around and everybody, nobody really had any information for us. So we think she killed herself.
Martha says,
I understand how upset you are.
No, but you don't understand anything. If she was going to kill herself, there were worse times, like when our parents died or when we were separated by different schools hundreds of miles apart, but not now.
Yeah. It's kind of messed up.
It is kind of messed up. She also says she wouldn't have driven all the way from Massachusetts just to kill herself in my house. I'm like, well, it's fair, but also kind of not how that works. But yeah, sure.
So the cop isn't listening to her.
No.
Thinks that she killed herself.
The cop in every 70s movie we've ever watched, they're just like, this is, you know, I can't help you.
Yeah, she's like, have you talked to the school? Like, she did just come from the school. Like, maybe there's people at the school who know something.
Yeah.
He's like, we have. She's fine. It's not the school's fault. But Elizabeth kind of has some suspicions here about her sister, Martha.
Yeah, she knows your sister.
Yeah, she's like, she wouldn't do that. So she goes to meet one of her friends from school. Her name's Lucy. She goes to Lucy's house, and she's telling her, hey, I don't think that my sister would kill herself. What do you think happened here? And Lucy's kind of very, like, kind of pushing the idea away as well.
Yeah.
She's like,
she wasn't upset or anxious or anything.
Oh, anxious maybe. About our graduation and you and her getting your own place and finally being together.
Nothing else.
Like what?
Someone, something at the school maybe. It has to be something there.
No.
It had to be something that happened at the academy. I would know if there was anything else.
No, I'm telling you, no.
I'm going there.
Well, you won't find out anything. Nothing. Nothing.
Yep. And she's constantly trying to change the subject with alcohol. She's drinking sherry, and she gives Elizabeth some sherry. And she's like, do you want some vodka? And, like, we shouldn't be talking about this. And then, like, Elizabeth is like, I don't want any drinks. I'm just trying to talk about my sister. And she's like, well, have some vodka. Like, she won't let up about the drinking, because clearly Lucy has seen something, too.
It's just like a very terrible friend.
Yeah.
Like, when, you know, your family member dies, and they're like, oh, don't worry. Like, I don't know how to solve problems other than drinking. Here.
Have some vodka.
Just,
some sherry.
Just drink. Just drink all your problems away like I do.
She clearly does, too.
Yeah. Elizabeth needs to pursue this a little bit more after she talks to Lucy. So she heads all the way to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
She goes to where her sister went to school, the Salem Academy for Women.
This is in Salem, Massachusetts, I assume. Mm-hmm. So this is the Salem Academy for Women. It is a all-girls college, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, she shows up to the college and is immediately met by three women that also go to that school.
Roberta, Debbie, and Jody. Debbie talks to her and says, "The Dragon Lady has us memorize our welcome speech. Our goal is to make you feel like one of us in the first 15 minutes." And aside from calling the headmistress the Dragon Lady, this is a pretty like normal kind of welcoming thing, you know? They really want to make her feel welcome. They seem like nice, you know, ladies and stuff. And they want to make her feel like she's part of the school.
Yeah.
Elizabeth kind of has a plan here, right? So she's there to investigate her sister. Well, she changed her last name to Singer instead of Sayer when she applied for the school so that people wouldn't suspect what she was up to, because she knows that it has something to do with the school. So she's kind of like in disguise right now, you know? They don't want her to think that she's her sister's sister.
Yes, she's and which is a good plan. She's got very like detective journalist vibes, which I like. And she asked, she's like, "Can we call the Dragon Lady something else? Because you keep calling her Dragon Lady. Why do you call her that?" And they're like,
"Headmistress, she is a bad painter, a worse sculptress, and a lousy musician. She's a perfect headmistress for an Academy of Fine Arts."
So they don't like the
She's
Dragon
a terrible
Lady.
Carpenter. She's great at metalwork.
How about the word sculptress? Like, not a sculptor. It's a sculptress. Yeah, it's very gendered.
She's a paintress?
She's a paintress. I guess we have actress.
Yeah. Oh, and waitress. But then there's certain words.
Well, we don't say waitress anymore.
No, but maybe in the 70s they would.
I guess so.
This is a servistress.
A servistress.
This is a butleress.
It's a servress.
A service. I'm Severus Snape. Elizabeth goes inside to meet the quote-unquote Dragon Lady, the headmistress. And she gives her kind of a rundown of the school.
Yeah.
She's like, "I went to this school back in the day. I want you to get everything that you can out of this."
She looks like Lucille Ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Very red hair.
Yeah, she's got a very like early Hollywood,
yeah,
you know, a starlet kind of look.
She does.
She says,
"We here at Salem Academy feel that girls of good breeding are more easily groomed into young ladies of culture and refinement."
Gross.
She says, "We have..."
It's gross.
She says, imagine like you have daughters one day. You're like, "Look, girls, okay? Girls of good breeding are more easily groomed into women of culture and refinement, okay?"
I think Amber would leave me immediately.
"If you're bred appropriately, then one day you'll have culture and refinement. What's the big deal?"
Using the word breed instead of raise.
Yeah.
It's so and gross.
She uses the word groomed and groomed into women of culture and refinement.
Not good.
She says, "We have traditions and standards, and some of those are meant to be broken." To which Elizabeth responds, "Not all of them." "Oh, good. It seems like so many young people today, especially in the arts, are fond of breaking the rules."
It's the 70s. Everybody's breaking the rules.
And she hates artists.
She does, and she's at an art school, which is kind of weird.
She gives her a class schedule.
Yeah.
She says that the power goes out sometimes and hands her this like oil lamp.
It's like a hurricane oil lamp. I saw that. I was like, why wouldn't you just leave that in her room?
Yeah.
Because she opens a drawer and she's like, "Here's, I'm issuing you your lamp now.
Your one oil lamp." And also, it's the 70s. They do have flashlights.
They do. Someone has a flashlight later in this movie. But they give her an oil lamp to just boost up the creepy.
She says on her schedule is going to be fine arts and behavioral psychology.
Yeah.
Those are the only two classes at this school. It's fine arts and behavioral psychology. There's two teachers other than the headmistress at the school, and they teach fine arts and behavioral psychology.
Which is weird. It's an art school. I don't know why they're teaching psychology at the art school. But maybe it's like psychology of the arts. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it based on what we see of that class.
It's a liberal arts education. You need to have a holistic view. I'm just surprised that they don't teach other things like social studies or, you know, history.
None of these women are going to be employed later.
History and social studies are the same thing. I don't know.
Make sure you're like getting a job application. Like, oh god, it's another girl from the Salem School for Girls. God damn it, we can't hire these people anymore. All they know is psychology and art.
Elizabeth ends up leaving. The headmistress answers the phone. She gets a phone call.
Yeah.
She says, "Yes, the new girl has just arrived." She hears something on the other end of the phone and clutches her pearls.
Yeah. Literally.
This is a very pearl-clutching era.
Yes, it is. If you have pearls, clutch them. We don't know what is said on the phone, but she was like, "Yes, she's here now." And then seems kind of
scared,
but also kind of scary.
Yeah. We cut to Elizabeth. She's in her first class for the day. Mm-hmm. She's in her fine arts class with her teacher, Mr. Clampett.
Mr. Handsome fella.
He's the art teacher. He's teaching them about optical illusions. He says,
"Optical illusion. How many see the squares coming out from the canvas, projecting out? Hands. Right. How many see the opposite? The box is going into the canvas. Okay. Now what I'm going to do, on signal, I'll clap my hands, you'll blink your eyes, and then stare right into the drawing. And those of you who see the reverse of the image you just saw, raise your hands."
All of the girls, except for Elizabeth, see what the other group saw. So if before they saw that the box is coming out from the painting, they now see it going in.
Yeah.
He says, "Elizabeth, oh, you didn't see it differently that time." She says, "No, of course." And he kind of gives her shit for it.
Yeah.
He's like,
"Sorry, I guess I wasn't concentrating."
"No, I think you were concentrating on something and therefore locked into your mind the very first image you saw. You have to let your mind hang loose."
"But I did blink my eyes."
"But not your mind. The artist has to be free to see things in different ways, to dare to see things unlike anyone has ever seen them before."
I mean, I went to theater school and stuff. I have like an arts education. I was never presented with that idea. I think it's kind of bullshit, you know?
He says you gotta let your mind hang loose.
Because sometimes your first perception of something can be really valuable, you know? Like, you'll journal, like, when you first, like, watch, like, a play or read a book or whatever, you'll journal, like, 10 minutes of just a free write of, these are my first thoughts.
Yeah.
Throughout the process of, you know, your art, like, if you're talking about a book or you're making a theater show, like, you'll reflect on those first 10 minutes, because a lot of the times your first perceptions are very valuable.
Yeah. I think so, too. And not only is he kind of a little bit of a shitty art teacher in that way, he also starts showing off some paintings that the class people, like the other people in the class did.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Here's a landscape that Debbie's working on. It's kind of shit." And then he walks over to this other painting. And
that Debbie also did.
Yeah. And he unveils it. And he was like, "Clearly Debbie's going through something. Maybe she should get a new boyfriend." Because we see this terrified.
It's Martha. It's her sister.
It's Elizabeth's sister. And she looks horrified.
Yeah.
And she looks like she's in this like dungeon room.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Elizabeth immediately clocks it and is like, "What is
this? That's my sister."
That's my sister.
She tries to talk to Debbie after class about it. She's like, "Hey, what's up with that picture?" She's like, "Oh, I don't know. I just came up with it. Like, you know, don't worry about it. It was a girl that used to go to this school.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, you know."
Exactly. Yeah.
And then she's like, "Well, what's our next class?"
"Yeah, what's our next class?" "Rats."
Rats.
That's it.
It's a rat class.
that's the conversation. What's the next class? Rats. And it's supposed to be a behavioral psychology class,
yeah,
but it ends up being a rat class. It's taught by a man named Delacroix. It cuts to that class.
Yeah.
Mr. Delacroix.
Delacroix.
And he has this rat maze, like a typical behavioral psychologist of the 70s.
Yes.
There's a white door and a red door. He says,
"We'll teach them that the food is always behind the red door. And when they have that well learned, we'll take the food away and put it behind the white door. And when they learn that, we'll switch again. And again. And again. To what end, Roberta?"
He asks a number of them. They give differing responses. He asks Debbie, who made the picture of Elizabeth's sister, Martha. He says, "What do you think that this rat maze does?" She says, "I don't know. It makes them look for food." And he gives her a lot of shit about it.
He does. Yeah, he kind of bullies specifically Debbie. Like, he gives her a lot of shit for not having the right answer. He's like, "Oh, I guess you would think that, huh?"
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you're teaching, like, manipulating rats 101. Like, you're already kind of being a little odd, but he's also really shitty to his students,
He says, "I might as well have just asked the rat with an answer like that."
Yeah, he's like a real dick about it. And which is the second teacher to kind of be a dick to Debbie.
And also, like, using a weird form of, like pseudoscience, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think either of their theory or methodology is, like, you know, kind of accurate. Like, how does this teach you anything about behavioral psychology?
He's like, "Hey, I fucked with this rat a lot. What do you think? Why do you think I did that?"
He asks Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, "It teaches that the mind can be broken by manipulation."
Yeah.
That it teaches passivity. That you'll be open to whatever it is, surrender to the circumstances in which you're under.
Yeah.
They leave the class, and Debbie's kind of talking about her experience. She says, she's got this weird look in her eyes. She says, step on a rat's tail, squeak. Step on its head, it's silent. Remember to close the white door. And start screaming as loud as she possibly can.
She has a full-on panic attack in the middle of the hallway between classes.
She drops onto the ground screaming.
And she's like convulsing. Yeah, they're trying to hold around her. At this point in the movie, Amber turned around and was just kind of looking because I was watching with headphones. And she was like, what the fuck are you? Because it just, from visually, it's just women holding down this other woman who's convulsing on the ground. And she looks upset.
Yeah. It cuts to Debbie now in a bed.
Yeah.
We have Elizabeth and Roberta, and they're sitting there with her, trying to help her feel better. And Debbie kind of just snaps out of whatever trance that she was in.
She has no recollection at all. They were like, you were screaming like you were in a lot of pain. And Debbie's like,
Debbie, the doctor will be here soon.
What for?
I don't need a doctor. Have you had this before?
Had what?
Don't you remember coming out of the psych class and suddenly screaming?
Like you were in some terrible pain.
I don't feel any pain.
Hey, what time is it?
6:30.
I'm gonna go wash my face. I don't want to be late for Dr. Clampett's wine party.
And she hops out of bed, and she's still wearing her clothes from the class, so she's like, just good to go.
Yeah.
Like, call somebody.
Very mysterious, though.
Very mysterious.
Very suspicious.
Very mysterious.
I don't know what this is. This might be a new thing. Every time something happens, I go, very mysterious. Very suspicious.
There's a lot of mysterious moments in this room. It cuts over to Dr. Clampett's wine party, and he's just having, it's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
He's having a wine party at this school for women. So it's just him and all these like 20-year-old women, and he's just like sipping wine, shooting the shit. And I'm like, this is so weird. Yeah, I don't know. Is that a 70s thing?
I don't know. It feels very like for his ego, you know, like I have a bunch of the kids over. I get them drunk. They tell me about how cool I am.
That's what it feels like. And they are all obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And they're just like constantly talking about how handsome he is.
You're so smart and so handsome. You know so much about illusions.
You know about when boxes go in or sometimes when they go out.
And you can see them both ways because you're a genius.
I love you. I'll make my painting of the landscape better.
We didn't say this before, but when Elizabeth first gets to the school, they also hand her like a huge goblet of wine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wine drinking at this school.
Yeah, it's like a massive goblet. And I think it was like, I thought it was like an initiation where you like chug the whole thing, but it wasn't.
No.
They're just like, yeah, you're going to need that. Wow.
It's a lot of wine drinking. I went to school, like Cal State Long Beach was a dry campus. Like we weren't allowed to have alcohol even in the dorms, like at all. Like,
I thought they had a bar. 21.
They do. That's the only place that you can get alcohol.
Oh, it's like Disneyland. You have to go to California Adventure.
Exactly.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But there's a lot of wine drinking at the school.
Yes, they love it.
In the middle of this party, it cuts to the dragon lady, the headmistress. She's in her office.
Yeah.
She gets a call from the Boston police.
Yes.
It turns out that Lucy, the friend of Martha that Elizabeth visited, and there's a lot to say, that Elizabeth visited at the beginning of the movie.
The one drinking sherry and with the vodka. Yeah.
The Boston police say that she committed suicide.
Yeah.
So now we have two girls who have committed suicide.
Very suspicious.
Very mysterious. You think so?
I think so.
Very mysterious. Everything happening here is very mysterious. Very suspicious.
So now, yeah, we got two women that went to the school that are both found dead from apparent suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth isn't having it.
No.
She's like, no, it's not.
She hears Debbie, though, say, that's another girl who's died from suicide.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, as kind of pretending like she's not her sister's sister, is supposed to not know at this point that her sister, not her sister, died from suicide.
You're making this more complicated than it is.
I know, but it becomes important a little bit later
on. It does.
It cuts to later that night. It's a very dark and stormy night.
Yes. There's thunder. There's lightning. The power goes out.
Yeah.
So she has to bust out her government-issue lamp.
Uh-huh.
School issue.
And it gets very Harry Potter because
it does.
Her whole thing is that she's going to go out in the middle of the night and she's going to try and find out more about the school.
It's Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah. Find out about what happened to her sister Martha.
Yes.
She goes to Debbie's room.
Yes.
And she asks her. She said,
I didn't know her, but that girl's suicide really shook me up. Lucy?
Hmm.
Lucy was nice. She was really nice. At the party, you said that makes two of us.
Martha. Martha Sayers. She committed suicide, too. Isn't that the girl in your painting?
And she confirms, yes, this was the girl from the painting.
Yeah, and she asks about the painting, and she was like, "There, it looked like she was in some sort of dungeon or something." Yeah. And she goes, "Oh, I don't know anything about a dungeon. Stop talking to me." Yeah. Like, she gets real squirrely.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't want to talk about the painting. She was like, "I don't know. I just paint what's in my head. I don't think it's real."
Yeah.
But Elizabeth is convinced that there's a dungeon on campus, uh-huh. and she's going to go find that dungeon.
So Elizabeth leaves Debbie's room.
Mm-hmm.
She heads to the art room.
Yeah, you know. the art room.
They have art class in.
The art class.
The classroom for art.
Yes.
Oh, what a struggle it is to come up with a name for that. Because you feel like it's supposed to be something.
Well, yeah, because you're like a lab. You know, we have labs. We have a studio.
Oh!
It's a studio. I found it by accident. Bow, 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 bow.
She heads there. She grabs the picture of her sister.
Yeah.
She starts looking around where this picture is set.
Yeah, she's doing some detective work. She's looking in the background. She's like, okay, we got rafters. It looks dark. It looks dingy. I think this is a basement.
Mm-hmm.
So she heads over to another building on campus, and she makes her way into...
like, down these stairs.
It's real creepy, and there's... one thing that I like about this movie is that there's a lot of stuff that in a lesser movie, like, she would bump into something and scream.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a creepy clown head down here. That in another movie, she would be like, ah! But she she doesn't. She's really brave. Like, way more brave than me. Yeah. I would not have done this at all. I'd be like, oh, my sister died. I don't care. Like, I would not be investigating like this.
Yeah. She goes into this kind of basement thing.
Yeah.
There's all these weird sculptures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm spoiling anything if I say, like, later on, we learn that they're props for a school play that are stored down here.
What was that play?
I don't know.
A horror show. Because they're, like, real creepy shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
She ends up finding this kind of, like, secret little back room.
Yeah.
It's the cellar where they keep all the wine, because this school needs a lot of wine.
It is the... I guess the wine cellar. And there's a door that looks like it's about 400 years old.
Mm-hmm. She's able to match the painting.
Yeah.
She goes into the door.
Perfectly.
Yeah. And she sees, okay, this is exactly where this painting was taken.
Which is credit to Elizabeth for finding this room, but also credit to Debbie for, like, doing really good work in the painting.
She's a great artist.
She got the rafters exactly right. I mean, she looks at it. She's like, this is the exact room in this painting. It's impressive.
She is kind of looking around in this room to see if she can find any evidence, like maybe what happened to her sister. She doesn't know. She sees these barrels in the corner. She starts peeking behind the barrels. And there's a man with a knife.
The man with a knife comes out like he's gonna fucking kill her. And it you can briefly see him, but you see him just long enough to realize it's the creepy rat scientist. It's Delacroix.
Delacroix.
Delacroix. He's lurking in the basement.
So she runs out. She goes back to Debbie's room. She goes up to Debbie and she's like, I found where the picture was, where you painted that.
Yeah.
I know where it is now. Debbie starts freaking out.
She loses her shit. She was like,
the room in your painting, I found it. No. No. No, I ain't been to that room.
It's identical.
I have never, never seen a room like that. Never.
What are you so afraid of?
I'm not afraid. Tell me, please. Nothing. I didn't have anything to do with it.
With what?
Nothing. Now get out of my room.
Debbie freaking out ends up waking up two other people, Jody and Roberta,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking to her. They're like, what is going on? Why is Debbie freaking out so much? And she was like, I found a basement on campus.
Yeah. She's like, oh, you know, you were probably just seeing things. She says, maybe it was a ghost. She does confirm that back in during the Salem witch trials, that 8 young women were hung in that cellar.
On suspicion of being witches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's probably just freaked out from hearing that story, even though she's hearing that story
for the first time. Yeah. They're like, oh, I know. This is a classic. You've heard this story before I told you. I know exactly what happened here. Like, no, she saw some shit. She saw Delacroix. It's his name's hard to pronounce. It's
Delacroix.
Delacroix. It has an X in it, and it's just so unnecessary. Like, what's up with French?
It's French.
I know. It's just, we'll put X's.
French is so unnecessary.
Delacroix.
Use less letters.
Use less X's is all I'm saying.
They go back to psych class and they're talking about their, mouse experiment led by Delacroix. And he says, he kind of asks them what these mice are guided by, why they're acting this way.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth responds, It's their terror.
Yeah.
They're terrified of not being able to get food. Mm-hmm. So they're running around like crazy. And he says,
"We're all apt to react more strongly to terror than any other emotion. To react violently, even to kill, out of terror. But don't let this experiment fool you. Humans don't show their terror as do rodents, running and screeching. Sometimes terror can break down all the fibers of resistance so that a complete passivity takes over. And human reaction, though passive, is most dangerous in this state of terror."
This man is
very mysterious.
Very mysterious, and he's really hung up on the idea of emotional manipulation through fear,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. And at this point, I'm like, I like this movie.
It's after class. She's in the hall with her friends.
They're talking shit about Delacroix.
Yeah. And Elizabeth, after being in the class, kind of makes a realization. She says, "I think that it was Professor Delacroix in the wine cellar. The rat maze, the room, all of this, it's like his experiment."
Yeah, she says the basement kind of felt like his rat maze. And it's like, you know, maybe they should reevaluate his tenure. Because if he's down in the basement and causing fear labs, like, I think maybe, you know, get rid of him. Elizabeth tells Roberta, and Roberta's kind of the only one that's like, "Oh, you might be onto something here."
Yeah.
And she's like,
"Maybe we better look at it again. We could go down there tonight after everybody's gone to sleep. What if I'm wrong? That's not what scares me. What if you're right?"
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good line. I like that line. I was like, yeah, what if she's right?
So they hatch a plan.
Yeah.
That night, they are going to go, the two of them, skulk around the school, mm-hmm. go into that basement, see if they can find any more information out.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
Roberta, once it gets dark enough, shows up to Elizabeth's room.
With a flashlight.
With a flashlight.
With a fucking flashlight. Like, and Elizabeth still has her gaslight.
Yeah, it's like a big, like, nice, like, kind of dome flashlight.
Yeah, she's like a really nice, like, Duracell flashlight. I was like, why don't they give these to the students? Very odd. Maybe the new students get lamps and the students that have been there a while get the nice flashlights.
Yeah, if you're a senior, you get a flashlight.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's just gas lamps.
They're gaslighting, and they're also gas lamping.
Ooh!
At the same time that Roberta and Elizabeth are leaving to go investigate, Debbie is...
skulks off.
She kind of leaves and looks also very, like, she's kind of back in her, like, freak-out state.
Very mysterious.
Very mysterious. And she leaves, and Roberta and Elizabeth, they head out on their expedition.
Yeah. They kind of are looking all over the school, trying to find more information. They decide to head down to the cellar.
Yeah.
To the basement.
Which is where I'd go first.
And they find Debbie there.
Yeah.
She's got blood all over her face.
Mm-hmm.
She's dead on the ground.
Yeah. It looked violent.
Yeah.
But when they go back, because they end up going back to the headmistress's house, and they wake her up, and she was like, "No knocking after hours." And they're like, "No, why this is kind of here? Important." And she tells them,
"Oh, what's the meaning of this after hours? You know the rule.
Debbie's dead."
"What?
We found her body in the cellar."
"But how?"
"We don't know. It looks like she committed suicide."
I would not have thought that.
No, based on the way that she looked, she didn't look like
how did herself. She did she throw herself into the wall? Like, how did you, what?
Why is there blood all over?
Yeah, that's not how that usually works, but the headmistress is like, "Oh my god, this is awful. Mm-hmm. Don't tell the students because I don't want to cause a panic in the middle of the night. I'll call the police."
So she goes over to her phone and she holds down the receiver.
Yeah.
Makes a call. In air quotes.
Yes.
To the police and says, "Hey, we need you here immediately. We found a body. There's a dead girl in the basement. We need someone to come here and investigate this." She's holding down the receiver.
Yeah.
So she's not really making a call. The camera kind of zooms in on her holding down the receiver.
Yeah. But the two girls, Elizabeth and Roberta, they're both like, okay, good. The police are on the way. This is good. And the headmistress, we now are really questioning her motives in this moment. We're like, she's in on this.
Yeah. Whatever's going on. And, they tell her, "We think that it's Delacroix. Like, we think that he has something to do with this."
Yeah.
So she, the headmistress leaves to go, like, batten down the hatches, get the school all secure and stuff. The girls are left alone in her office.
Yeah.
they're talking to each other. They're like, how can we find out more information? Roberta tells Elizabeth, hey, she does have personnel files in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We can look to see if there's any more information about Delacroix.
Yeah, so she's a Hermione in this Harry Potter one. Yeah.
She is going through all the documents, and they can't find Delacroix's file.
No, so they're like, well, let's look up the students that have died. And those files are missing, too.
Yeah, they look up Lucy. They look up her sister.
Yeah.
They can't find them. And Roberta tells her, well, they did all have dead parents. Like, none of their parents were around.
Yeah. So she goes, well, why don't you look up Debbie? Because Debbie will be in here. Debbie's not in there either.
They can't find Debbie's file either.
Yeah. Which is really weird because Debbie, the headmistress just found out about Debbie's death. So now it's, like, really suspicious because it seems like these girls are being targeted.
Yeah. The conclusion that they had come to was that, oh, well, maybe since those girls are no longer at the school, their files were removed.
Yeah.
Well, how would the headmistress know that Debbie's no longer with us?
Yeah.
If they just told her that information.
So now we're pretty sure that the headmistress is either in cahoots or physically killing these girls themselves. It's very weird.
So they want to find out more information. Again, they're information seekers.
They are. They're little detectives.
They head over to Delacroix's office.
Yes.
They look at his mice cages.
His
rat cages.
Yes.
And they see all the mice have died.
These are rats, you motherfucker. You keep calling them mice.
What's the difference?
They're rats and a mouse are completely different species.
Look how small they are.
Yeah, they're small rats, but they're still rats.
Okay.
It's rat 101. It's rat class.
Welcome to rat class. Yeah, what am I saying? They're looking and they're freaked out by the fact that all these mice are dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna let it go. Because what can I do at this point?
They're freaked out that all the rats are dead. And they hear a voice come from behind them. He says,
they were slaughtered. They were slaughtered. I know why you came here, and I know who sent you. But it won't stop me. It won't silence me.
It's Delacroix. He's standing behind them, and he's freaked out. He's got sweat in his brow. He's panicking.
He has a gun.
Yeah. He says, I know why you came here, and I know who sent you. The girls say, who? What are you talking about? No one sent us here.
Yeah.
He says, it won't silence me. It won't stop me.
Yeah. It said it killed them just like it wants to kill me.
And I won't give in.
Yep.
I won't surrender.
Yeah.
And he runs through a second story window.
He does. He leaps through a window, breaks his fall, I guess.
Yeah.
He looks like he might have hurt his leg because he's limping a little bit, but he just runs off into the darkness, which is really impressive. It's really cool.
I love just that moment that I see it in a movie where someone's having a conversation. They're like, I'm out of here. And they sprint through a glass window.
People should do that more. Yeah. When you don't want to talk to someone, just defenestrate yourself and just jump through a window. Why not? They find files. They find the files of the girls
files.
In Delacroix. I cannot say his
it's
name.
Fine. Just try it. I don't even know.
Delacroix. How did you say it? Delacroix.
Think of it as a Q-U-A instead of an R-I-O-X. Delacroix.
Delacroix.
Yeah. You could put the R in there, though. Delacroix.
Delacroix.
Because I think I've pronounced it 3 or 4 different times.
I like how you're saying it better. I don't like how I say it.
Delacroix. I'm saying it with confidence because I'm not necessarily saying it better because I think I've said it differently as well. I just don't question myself. It's Delacroix.
Delacroix. Yeah. Well, Delacroix is gone.
He's off in the forest.
Yes. And they find the files. They find the file on Debbie. They find the file on the other people. I can't remember their names right now. Lucy.
Yeah, it's fine.
They find all the files. So they're pretty convinced that Delacroix is the person that is causing all this.
Yeah. And so now they go to the fine arts teacher, Mr. Clampett.
Mm-hmm. Handsome Mr. Clampett.
And they're kind of asking him, you know, can you help us? Like, we have this information. We think Delacroix, you know, has killed these women.
Yeah.
We saw him run off into the forests. Like, you know, can you come with us and help find him? Can you call the police? Can you do anything?
Yeah.
He says,
I'll try to stop.
No, he's got a gun. Wait for the police. They're on their way.
Mrs. Williams told me. I took care of Debbie.
Now, look, if they see him with a gun, they might shoot him. Maybe you'll listen to me. You two wait here and don't scare the other girls. Wait right here.
I mean, yeah, that's good motivation. I like it. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I got this, bae. He takes off to go chase after Mr. Delacroix.
Yeah, Delacroix is the bad guy. He's the one that we're after. And our kind, loving teacher, Mr. Clambit, is going to help save the day.
Don't handsome art teachers always do that? I mean, I knew he was going to do this.
Delacroix is running through the forest, panicked.
Yes.
He's got this, like, feral animal look on his face.
His mustache is just flapping in the wind. He's running.
He ends up falling into, like, a small body of water, like a pond or a
very shallow pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see some of the other girls from the school, or one of them first arrives. She's got a big stick.
Yeah.
She kind of sticks it out into the water.
It's Jody, yeah.
As if to save Delacroix.
Yep.
And he goes to grab the stick, and she jams it into his head.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, it doesn't break skin or anything.
No, but he's, it was more like
pushing him away.
Like, yeah, he's like kind of a, what are you doing?
A bunch of other girls from the school show up and form like a circle around this pond. There's probably like five girls around here.
And they all have like 20-foot bamboo poles.
And they're kind of shoving him. They want to drown Delacroix.
They're pushing him. They're pushing him into the lake, and they're keeping him underwater. And I kind of really felt bad because he was like,
please let me out. I won't tell. Please let me go. Let me out. I won't tell. I won't go.
And they drown him.
Yeah.
This group of women drown him with bamboo poles. Delacroix's dead.
Poor Delacroix. And then it cuts to Elizabeth and Roberta. They're sitting by the fire talking about the art teacher.
Yeah.
They're talking about how cool he is, how amazing he is, how he's able to help them, how he's going to save the day.
Yeah, Roberta specifically is like, I don't know. Like, there's just something about him. And Elizabeth's like, are you in love with him? He's like, she goes,
see, when I first came to the academy, I was really lost. He gave me confidence in myself. He gave me a belief in my own ability. I was thinking of the word power.
Power?
To do what? Not that kind of power. Power to live. Power to never feel vulnerable again. Never feel like your life is right on the edge of being wiped out. And if it were, nobody would care. Nobody would give a damn.
He gave you all that?
And more. He can't help you if you fight him. He can't help you if you resist him.
Yeah. So,
Mysterious. Very spooky.
Very mysterious. And of course, you know, as the audience and also as us right now, we're just like, what's going on with this art teacher guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird the way she's referring to him. Like, she's almost like under some sort of spell, like an emotional spell.
Yeah. Clambit comes running back in. He says, I was not able to find Delacroix. He says, but the police are on the way. I want you guys to go upstairs to my room, lock the doors, draw the blinds, don't let anyone come in. The girls are like, okay. So they do just that.
The girls, you know, they have no reason not to trust him at this point.
I was trying to add some dramatic tension with a little pause there, and I was like, I don't know what to break the tension with. So Clampett heads to the Dragon Lady's office, the headmistress office,
and she is not psyched to see him.
No, she is like,
what are you going to do?
Just clear the school.
No, I won't let you do anymore. I don't know why I've let you do what you've done, but it's over now. It's all over.
So, a little spoiler here. Clambit seems to have some kind of power over these women.
Yeah, and the headmistress seems to have been doing his bidding, and she is now putting her foot down saying, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to hurt anybody anymore. This is wrong. I don't want to do this. And then he basically says,
Jessica.
Yes, Dr. Clambert.
You'll do as you're told.
Yes, Dr. Clambert.
He says, clear the girls out of the school for the night. I have this handled. You will follow me. You will listen to what I say. Jedi mind tricks.
Yes.
Qui-Gon.
Yes. He does some Obi-Wan tricks.
Yeah.
This is not the school you're looking for.
So he comes up with a plan. He's going to send the girls away for the night. He has something going on here, and he's able to get the headmistress to do what he wants. Yeah. The headmistress kind of reverts into this weird kind of brain control, mind control state, you know, where she's open to whatever suggestion he has to say.
Yeah. And his plan is to gather all the women in the school, put them all onto shuttle buses, and then just get them off school property. And he says, just tell them it's because of the power outage and it's a safety thing. We got to get them all out of this school.
So he gathers them all. He gets them into the van, and they're all like have this like weird kind of goo-goo gaga, like love look in their eyes. Like, he's so amazing. We love everything that he does.
We love how he teaches illusion and criticizes our paintings. I'll get in the van.
Get in whatever van you want, Mr. Klanvich. One of them is about to get into the van. I assume that she's kind of like one of the head girls. And she says, according to the count, there's still 8 girls here. And he says, oh, don't worry about that. Me and the dragon lady, we will drive them to wherever you guys are going.
Yeah. And then he says, but don't tell her that I just called her the dragon lady, because she would hate that. And so he's still being this charming kind of like, I'm just one of you guys. You want to go to a wine party later?
Let's go to a wine bar tonight.
You want to go to a wine bar?
It's a wine bar out in town. We can drink as much as you want. There might be poison in that.
I don't know.
Elizabeth and Roberta hear the van starting. They hear what's going on because they're still locked in the room. They've locked themselves in the room. And Elizabeth tries to rush out to go catch the van. So Roberta tries to stop her.
Yeah, Roberta's like, no, we said stay here. Yeah. Don't leave. And she's like, hell no, I'm leaving. I got to see what's going on. She comes out of the school and sees just a bus full of every student in the school just leaving.
Yeah, they take off.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth goes to her car. Yeah. She's about to, you know, hop in and I assume chase the vans to get out of this scary situation.
Yeah.
And a body falls out of the car.
Yeah.
It's Delacroix. It's the science teacher. He's dead inside of her car.
Yeah. Just hanging out in the driver's seat. She opened the door and he flops out.
Yeah.
Which is surprising to me. I would have thought that they would have left him in the pond, but nope. He's just in her car now.
I assume it's like they want to send a message. Yeah. Do not try to leave or you're going to end up like Delacroix.
Yeah. She doesn't attempt to get back into the car. She doesn't move his body. She just kind of runs.
Good fucking point.
Yeah. She's just like, oh shit, and runs back into the school. And her and Roberta decide to go to the headmistress's house because they're like, she will help us. Yeah. Like, something's going on. There's murders being committed on campus. We need help.
So they rush into her office and they're like, headmistress, like, we need help. Delacroix was dead in my car. We missed the vans to get out of here.
Yeah.
And the dragon lady, the headmistress, she turns to them and she says,
the headmistress isn't here right now. She told me to wait for her. She's going to punish me. I know she is. But she's wrong. It's a lie. Somebody told her a lie about me. I wasn't in that room. I would never go down there.
She's under some kind of freaky fucking spell.
She's snapped and she keeps referring to Mrs. Abigail, who apparently was the headmistress when she was a little kid going to the school. Not a little kid. They're all grown women.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, she's completely snapped. Like, she's no longer the headmistress. No. Not at all.
She's reverted to kind of a younger state of being.
Yes.
So the headmistress is not going to help them.
No. And Elizabeth says, I remember when we were in the basement, there was some guns. There was 2 rifles and a handgun down there. Mm-hmm. We got to go get those and we got to protect ourselves because nobody's helping us anymore.
Yeah. They head down into the basement. They kind of open the door and the rifles are gone.
Yes.
All that's left is a small handgun.
Yeah, a little revolver.
Mm-hmm. So they grab some ammo and they're like, all right, we got to get out of here. Let's go to the cellar. Let's see what's going on. I feel like that's where all of this leads to. That's where the action is.
Yeah. And Elizabeth is like,
you know how to use that thing? Yeah, I was brought up on a farm. My father had these around all the time. Walk to one side in case I have to use this thing.
And I was like, Roberta's a badass.
You know how many cattle I've killed?
Roberta knows what she's doing. Elizabeth knows what she's doing. They got a gun. They're going to take these people out.
So they head into the secret room in the cellar and Clambit is there, the art teacher.
Yeah.
He's wearing a big devil dog, Satan robe.
A big black robe with a giant shawl.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool robe.
A huge, like, vampire collar.
Yeah.
You know? And there's 6 other women that are standing in front of him.
All in white robes.
Yeah, the ones that were pushing Delacroix into the water.
Yeah.
And there's obviously some satanic shit going on here.
Yeah, it's like he's there and he has like a harem of witches with him.
Uh-huh.
It's very creepy.
And they're like,
8 of my girls died here. 8. All unwanted. Like you. Like all of them. I have waited too long. Now I have found 8 to take their place. And like them, abandoned once again.
Yeah, and then so Elizabeth turns over to Roberta, like, you got the gun. She walks right past her and joins the harem of witches. Yeah,
she locks the door.
She locks the door behind her and then puts on a white robe, and she's just one of them now. Roberta's been bad the whole time, and I did not see it coming. You said you saw it coming.
Yeah, I had a feeling when she was like, oh, you know, he's the best, and he can't help you unless you let him help you, when they were by the fire.
Yeah.
I kind of figured. But
I just thought she was, like, really into him. I didn't realize that she's, like, part of this witch cult.
Yeah, and Elizabeth kind of asks the girls, what do you think is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, who do you think that this guy is?
Yeah.
And they're like,
we know. Malleus Malaforcum, the hammer of witches. Some call him Satan.
I didn't know what that meant.
We Googled it.
Sounds creepy in Latin.
It sounds really creepy. It was apparently a book from the 1400s by Heinrich Kramer. It's like some witch book, and so he is the hammer of witches. It's creepy. He's like, we don't know exactly what his deal is at this point, but he's clearly, like, has control over these women, and he is saying that he is Satan.
Yeah, he just kind of cuts the bullshit and lets them know directly, I'm Satan, baby.
Yeah, and they all, Elizabeth's freaking out, and she was like,
don't listen to him. Look, there are eight of us against his one. You've got to get out of here before it's too late. For God's sake!
For his sake or mine?
Which I thought was a really cool line. Yeah, yeah. It's just a very dark line.
It's just kind of reinforcing the fact that he's Satan.
He's Satan.
He says, you must join me.
Yeah.
He says, your sister would not, but you will.
Yeah.
She's not having it.
No, she's not. And thank God she was issued that gas lamp.
Yeah, because she throws it, she hucks it across the room.
She does like a grenade.
Yeah, and it lands on all of the other state-issued gas lamps that I assume the other girls had, yes, except for Roberta, because she gets a flashlight. And the room starts getting engulfed in flames.
Yeah. And then the devil turns around to the women.
Art teacher.
The art teacher devil, Satan, Malleus Maleficarum, turns around and says, do not leave until the eight of us are together. And then leaves to go chase after Elizabeth.
Elizabeth rushes upstairs, and she sees the dragon lady, the headmistress. She's like, it's the middle of the night. It's completely dark, and she's standing in the middle of the hall watering plants.
Yeah, because she's still in her weird trance state.
In like a nightgown.
Yeah, she's like, I have to water the plants, or the headmistress is going to be really mad.
She's like, I'm a plant monitor. I was supposed to water these plants today. You won't tell Miss Abigail, will you? And Elizabeth is like, no! What? What are you? No! Let's go! Let's get out of here! She grabs her by the arm and pulls her out.
Yeah.
They're able to make it outside.
Well, she hucks her lamp. She takes the lamp from the headmistress and chucks that into her whole, like, little homestead. That bursts into flames. And then the headmistress goes, I want to watch. She's like, we don't have time for this.
So they get outside.
They do.
They see the building starting to get engulfed in flames.
All the buildings on campus are on fire now.
And Mr. Clambit, a.k.a. Satan, is kind of realizing his plans have been foiled by all this fire.
Yeah.
He was going to chase after her, cuts his losses.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go back to the room.
Yeah.
So he goes back down to the secret cellar. The whole cellar is engulfed in flames.
We presume those seven women are dead.
Yeah, or, I mean, currently set on fire.
Yes.
He opens the door and just walks into the flames.
Yeah, you can see his cloak catching fire. Like, there was an actual actor that walked into flames, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he bursts into flames, and we don't see him. We don't know if he killed himself. We don't know what's going on, but he's gone.
The fire department arrives. The police arrive.
Yeah.
They say, you know, we should have listened to you guys when you said that there was a power problem.
Yeah, they think it's an electrical fire.
But we're here now. And the girls are like, thank God. Or, I mean, not the girls, but Elizabeth and the headmistress are like, thank God that you're here.
Yeah, and the fire department guy, he's like,
everybody out?
No, not everyone.
But the firefighter doesn't go like, holy shit, we gotta get the girls out. He's just like, huh. Which is like, the harem of witches have burned, but the fire department doesn't know that.
So they're all watching as the building is engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
And there's another figure kind of standing there looking off to the side.
Yeah, it's very mysterious.
Very scary, very spooky. It's Clambit.
Yeah.
As Satan.
Yeah.
And he's standing there in a full suit.
Yep.
He wasn't wearing the suit
before. Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. And he dematerializes. He fades away
and the cigarette drops on the ground.
Yeah, and there's a little burn spot where he was standing.
Yeah, which means he is Satan.
He's Satan.
He's actually fucking Satan, yeah. Man. I don't know. And that's, I don't know how else to tell you guys, but the art teacher's actually Satan.
And I'm sure you can tell at this point, but that's pretty much the end of the movie. There's not much else that happens.
No, this is a quick one because, I mean, it's a shorter movie. It's only an hour and 14 minutes, but it's also like, it just chugs snappy, right along. Yeah. It's snappy, which I part of the reason I appreciate it was because there's really no wasted dialogue.
Uh-huh.
It's great. Did you think, toward the end of the movie, did you think he was actually Satan? Or did you think that he was a guy that thought he was Satan?
I assume, so, right, we kind of have to analyze the plot a little bit, because there is a lot of information that's not, like, fully fleshed out, you know? We know that it has something to do with the Salem witch trials and stuff.
Yeah.
I figure, like, back in the day, he probably was, like, a real person, you know, and he was worried, you know, because of, like, the sexualization of young women, that, like, these women were, you know, witches or whatever, kind of like in The Crucible, like, mm-hmm. the actual story and stuff. And so he started seeking out more texts and whatnot to kind of, like, verify this, and then ended up finding the Malus Maleficarum or whatever.
Malleus Maleficarum.
Maleficarum.
I just like saying that.
And ended up, because you said it was, like, a Russian book.
German, yeah.
Yeah, German book about demonology and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I assume that he found this book and Satan then possessed his body.
Oh, so okay.
So now Satan uses this form specifically in this setting at this school.
Wow. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, I don't know.
No, I like it.
I don't know, but that's what I feel. And I feel like it is kind of like, I don't think it was Haunting of Hill House. It was another one of those by the same guy.
Bly Manor.
Yeah. I don't think it was Bly Manor. It was the other one. They're on the island or whatever. He has to repeat this ritual every like 20 years or whatever in order to continue existing in this corporeal being that he is.
I like that. I like the idea that he did exist at one point and he's been basically possessed by Satan and he has Satan powers.
Yeah.
Way better than Devil Dog. Way better.
Even though we love Devil Dog.
We love Devil Dog, but this one, man. Honestly, I know we get into it with the questions here. I wouldn't change a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we were to remake this movie...
I don't think I would change anything.
Yeah.
I think that, like we were saying in the beginning, like, if you were to try to change this, I think just upping the film quality would take away from it. Yeah. I think everything about it works. And I'm really curious to watch the 2000 version of this, because I want to see if I'm right.
It was the perfect level of built suspense that didn't involve jump scares or, like, kind of cheesy, like, artificially scaring the audience.
Yeah.
It was just, like, delicately painted tension that escalates throughout. And there's not some huge, like, fight at the end.
No.
You know, she doesn't have to, like...
Leaves it really open-ended.
She doesn't have to, like, face the devil or whatever. I mean, she throws...
There's no big fight.
Yeah, she throws the lantern, and that's the end of the movie. And some could say that that's a little, like, anticlimactic, but I think that in this setting, for, like, an hour and 15-minute movie, it was... icing on the cake. It was absolutely perfect.
It was perfect, because it also opens it up to a sequel, and I know that we never got one, but, like, there could have been a sequel. I'm kind of glad there wasn't.
What would the sequel be?
Yeah, that's the thing. What would the sequel be? I mean...
We know that he's not dead.
He's clearly not dead. The school's burned down.
And he's killed 7 of the women, and he still needs Elizabeth.
Okay, the school burned down right at the end, right? So, I think... cut to now. This is a much further in the future sequel. Maybe it's, like, 2024.
Uh-huh. She's like in her 50s.
50s, 60s. Yeah. They rebuild the school on the same plot of ground.
Uh-huh.
Because she had said, the head mistress.
Did you say head mistress?
No.
I said you mistress. Did. No. I said mistress. We have that recorded. So we're going to listen back to it. You definitely just said the head mistress. And I love that.
The head mistress says, this school has existed on this plot of land under different names for over 400 years.
Uh-huh.
So the school gets rebuilt, and it's still called the Salem School for Women, Academy for Women. And I think that the devil comes back and tries to pull the same shit. But I think that Elizabeth knows what's going on.
Well, I think Elizabeth probably, like, after this trauma, has, like, kind of secluded herself. And, like, maybe she moves to Alaska, you know, and she's like, I'm going to hide out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to involve myself in the world. But she sees, like, a newspaper, and this school is kind of getting big. And she sees, like, a picture of, like, all these women that are lined up. And she sees Clambett there.
Yeah. And she's like, oh. And he looks the same.
He looks exactly the same.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you know, she's aged, like, 40 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have to do something. I have to go back.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to go back, but I have to.
Yes.
So she goes back, and we don't know what happens.
No.
Welcome to the sort of sequel.
We can't spoil the ending of the sequel. No. What would you name it? We'll put you on the spot. Is it just Satan's Schools for Girls 2?
Well, it's Satan's School for Girls 1. Satan's... it's Satan's School for Girls 2.
It's just Satan's School for Girls. Yeah. Maybe it can take place during the pandemic, so it's Satan's School for Girls Zoom edition. It's all through Zoom. Nobody's paying attention.
They all get their necks sliced and stuff. It goes global, so it's not just at the school.
Debbie, your camera has to be on for class. God damn it, Debbie.
God damn it, or... Satan, damn it.
Woo!
And then on a scale of 1 to cinema, what do you think?
It's a cinema, baby.
This is 10.
This is 10.
I give it a 10.
We've done a couple 10s, kind of close. And this is a 10 for me. I really fucking love this movie.
I really just think that, like, this kind of in-between thing where it's not like a long TV show, you know, with multiple episodes, but it's not like a full length hour and a half, 2 hour movie.
You could miniseries this.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I just think that it's really cool though. And I want to see like more of that. Like I wish that there was more like, you know, perfect, like hour and 15, like small things that you could enjoy.
Yes.
It's not as much of a huge time commitment.
Yes.
And you can just enjoy it. You know,
I like that. I like that idea. Yeah, maybe some after-school specials.
I really want to do an after-school special.
We should release a bonus after-school special episode.
Or maybe we'll just like put it in the normal lineup.
Yeah.
In fact, we could do one next week here on
Sort of Cinema. Melius Maleficarum. Satan.
This has been a Shockfish Media production. If you like the show, please leave a rating and share the podcast with a friend. It really helps us out. For more Sort of Cinema, including clips from the movies, give us a follow on social media, @SortofCinema. See you next week.